Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
What are you still doing here? Why are you here still listening to us? This is hour three of Radio Law Talk. What? Is there a reason you're here? Are you just like sitting around? You have nothing to do? Why would you listen to us? I don't know, Cal. What's the problem? What? I know what it is. They have work to do, and they have their headphones on listening to Radio Law Talk. That's why they do it.
Or they're on a road trip going through Nevada, picking up us up on all the stations as they go from Reno all the way going up out I-80. Could be just pick us up that way.
Georgia. They can pick us up in Tennessee. They can pick us up in Oregon,
Pennsylvania.
Wherever. Illinois. I don't know. We're just everywhere. We appreciate you being here, though. We love having you listening to us. Talk about Radio Law Talk, the most exciting, entertaining, and sometimes informative show on earth. But we really love having you, and we appreciate our fan base. It's growing quickly, and we're doing everything we can to make it fun and exciting live radio. But it is live radio. You know, there's times we make mistakes, Cal. Sometimes we'll do something, add something. That's the fun of it, Cal. It's not boring, scripted radio. I mean, we do study the topics. But it's live. Things can go wrong. We had someone talk about that the other day. It's like, this happened and that happened. It's live radio, guys. That's what's so fun about it, you know? You just never know what's going to happen, especially with Todd as a co-host. Right, Denise?
That's right. And for me, I'm always shuffling paper or
that's
I
true.
Forget where the mic is and I smack it with my hand.
And I frequently goof up just because I'm an old guy.
Well, you just sleep. No, because you're asleep. You're sleeping over there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I heard you snore a few seconds ago.
Well, one time I hit this today, I hit the space bar and rolled the theme music, and I'm thinking, how did that happen?
Yeah. Well, it's because you put your donuts on there that you're eating.
Yeah, can you see the white powder on there? That is
that's
actual donuts.
For radio. Well, call us at 855 Law Radio. Again, 855 Law Radio. That's 855-529-7234. We're heard all over the United States. On affiliate stations. We appreciate them. Remember, this is general topics of law we're talking about. Seek local counsel. We're not giving legal advice. Thank you to Strauss's Naturals, who sponsors this show, among other sponsors, but they are the main sponsor. Look, we're going to talk about some interesting things, mainly the Remington lawsuit, dog attack case, and I've got a lot to say about that. And Trevor Milton. Who is Trevor Milton and why is it important? But the reason we always come to Radio Law Talk is for one thing and one thing alone. That's case or no case.
Now it's time to play case or no case.
Yay!
So I was kind of snooping around just trying to find more case or no case, you know, things to bring to the show because there's pressure on me. I have to do three of them a week, you know. So I found this one.
Don't you do one when you're in the bathroom on the toilet? That's what you usually do.
A couple of them. But, you know, sometimes it's a legitimate study session. According to this article that I found, it said that lawyers sometimes dismiss what are called pro se litigants because they're no match for them. So they don't have any legal training or no experience. However, pro se litigants can make formidable opponents, and lawyers should not underestimate them, because if they do, they do it at their own peril, like the case of Alton Fredericks of Nashua, New Hampshire. Fredericks is like many pro se people who represent themselves. They have a lot more skin in the game than the lawyer to whom he would just be another case. And this Mr. Fredericks researched all of the legal issues and procedures, involved in a case and harped on deficiencies in the positions of his adversaries. For example, in a case where he was being sued for a defective homemade toy, he was representing himself, and Frederick's opposing counsel needed to serve what is called there a supplemental bill of particulars. I guess that means it just gives more of facts about the case or allegations about the case. Mm-hmm. However, since the complaint had been verified, the bill of particulars also needed to be verified, meaning the client had to state under oath that the bill of particulars was true. And it had not happened. And so he went, came back after the lawyer and went to the judge and said, Your Honor, this case cannot go forward because this procedural matter has not been properly handled. I move my case, the case against me be dismissed. And so I asked you, so we already know we had that, the liability case. The question is this pro se effort to dismiss valid? And Todd, I guess you're the guy on this one, right?
Sure, sure. What the heck?
Why not?
Before I get to the answer, let me just tell you something. Yeah. And I don't know if my two colleagues have ever had occasion to go up against an attorney who, or an opponent who is representing themselves. In the, when I was a prosecutor in the criminal context, oh my gosh, what a headache.
Oh, the worst.
But, because they don't have an idea what the issues are. And they want to argue things, they don't understand relevance. And, but, so I have had this. I'm going to say this is a case, and you know what? I'm going to say that the pro per defendant, or the pro per individual, pro se, person representing themselves, I'll say they win. Hmm? They prevail.
All right.
That's my analysis, and I'm sticking by it.
I like it. Ms. Dirks, what say you in the matter of the lawyer, of the guy who thought he was a lawyer? And I say this because Fred always says, I think I'm a lawyer. I thought it was interesting. That's why I decided to try this
well,
one.
Well, you know what? Why not? You don't have to take a bar exam. You can just act like a
lawyer.
That's
easy. Right? Just pretend, yeah.
Yeah, and having skin in the game is extremely important because that does make one want to do the research and to really do it. A good job of it. And what's amazing about this is a procedural objection, not a substantive, objection is procedural. So I'm of the opinion that this self-represented party got it dismissed, but they could bring it again. So he might have brought that dismissal motion a little too early so that the statute didn't run yet, and so the attorney was able to refile and correct his mistake. But I'm saying it is a case, and the self-represented per se party wins.
Okay, fair enough. Mr. Penny, what do you say about this?
I don't know. Sounds like you got a construction going on behind you, though.
Well, I'm
just teasing you. Okay, here we go. So, look, here's the situation. This is the worst situation for a lawyer, right? We hate it when an improper comes in. And why do we hate that, Cal? It's not because they do the most off-the-wall stuff. You can't figure it out, right?
I mean, I think there's some things the court would just let go as a matter of course, and this guy finds that and harps on it and goes, hey, right?
Here's the other thing, Cal, ready? Yeah. And this is generalities I'm talking about.
Of course.
The courts generally are going to find it with us. They're going to hold us to a higher standard, us lawyers. They're supposed to hold everybody to an equal standard. But I've seen judges, and they're kind of a little bit nicer to the impropers because they don't know what they're doing, and they give them an extra break. You know, talk to you. Nope, you don't get that. You should have known better. And then the improper is like, oh, yes, go ahead and amend your complaint. And the judge doesn't give them advice, but just gives them extra time, helps them out, and feels bad for them. And that is the worst for lawyers. Like, here we go. They're not going to, I can't win this portion. So I say that the improper or pro se, they're called improper in most states, wins, but they win without prejudice, the motion, and the other party that's not proper is allowed to fix any issues. And we're going to come back after that wonderful rambling answer by Frederick Penny.
Really good. That was good. That was real good.
And we'll find out what's going to happen with the improper nightmare plaintiff in this case.
Well, it is an interesting thing to think about because I would imagine that everyone sees themselves giving that great impediment. Saying. Anyway, stay tuned, pardon me, Radio Law Talk will continue here in just a little bit. Right here, don't go away.
portion of Radio Law Talk is brought to you by Strauss Naturals. For more information, go to StraussNaturals.com. That's Strauss, StraussNaturals.com.
Wayne Elliott here to tell you about my experience with Strauss Naturals Heart Drops over the past 20 years. Strauss Heart Drops saved me back then and changed my life forever. It's hard to describe how invigorating it is when you support your healthy blood flow everywhere. There is scientific evidence that Heart Drops ingredients help maintain healthy lipid concentration. Cholesterol is in the blood lipid group. This supports blood flow, our body's most important function. I was able to maintain a healthy heart and blood flow. Strauss Heart Drops work, I can assure you. No contraindications with pharma drugs. Strauss Heart Drops are safe, and Strauss guarantees your satisfaction with a hassle-free guarantee so you can't go wrong and certainly have nothing to lose. I've seen folks taking Heart Drops that have greatly improved their lives. Available online at StraussNaturals.com. Thank you very much.
These products may not be right for you. Always read and follow the label.
You love your dog. Is something bothering him or her and you can't figure out what it is? Maybe they seem slow or lethargic, and maybe they just don't have energy. Wouldn't you like your dog to be living their very best life? PetJoy offers a money-back guarantee on all of its products. If your dog won't eat it or you don't see the results you want, just let us know and we'll make it right. Totally risk-free. What do you have to lose? You can't buy PetJoy multivitamins in a store. The only way you can get them is through this unique radio offer. And if you call right now, learn how to get two bottles free with your order. Turn your dog's life around and make him or her a happy camper. Ain't that right, boy? He said call PetJoy right now. 800-711-9218. 800-711-9218. 800-711-9218.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Is this real life? Not really.
Radio Law Talk can be heard on RadioLawTalk.com from 9 to noon Pacific time every Saturday. That's RadioLawTalk.com.
Okay, we have improper people that go into court that try to win cases, and this is a case that actually went to court and on a motion, and the question is, did the improper person win or not win? And Denise said that the person did win. I said the person did win also, but the judge granted the win without allowed the other party, I can't remember which was plaintiff and defendant, to amend without prejudice, which means they basically, whatever his ruling is without prejudice, means that they can go back and refile. And then you said what? I don't remember what you said, Todd.
Oh, it probably didn't matter. But no, I said.
yes, it matters.
I said that it's a case, and the pro se litigant prevails.
So we're all the same again.
That's right. Except my thought was it gets to be refiled because the pro se brought the dismissal too early, and the attorney could refile, and the statute hadn't run yet.
And Fred just blanket said it was dismissed, but they could refile.
Right.
And I just said he wins. The pro se litigant wins.
Well, here's what's interesting about this. Apparently, this particular judge was not too picky on this kind of stuff to begin with.
So when this
litigant came and filed the case, the judge said, "Ah, that's not a big deal. I'll let that go anyway." So, no case.
So this is not a real case?
No, it was just an article written in a law journal, you know, that where they said, make sure you have your associates, you know, cross every T and dot every I. It was an example.
So you know what that means.
Cal gets mine.
Cal gets 2 points and you side with Todd.
All right. How many points do I have, Denise?
4, and I have 5.
Oh,
and I have 2, and Cal has 2.
So we've got to go to 50, and whoever gets to 50 first gets a dinner from all the other co-hosts. And let me tell you right now, we're on our third round because you guys still owe me dinner from the one before, and we owe Todd dinner. And by the time Denise wins this time, we can just wipe them all out, right?
So since Cal and I are tied, Cal, would you like to form an alliance?
Yes. We will kick no one off the island.
Yes. We will pool our points.
You've just got to do better, Todd. That's all I can say. With me, that's a bad thing. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Case or No Case. Be sure and join us next week when we will have a Case or No Case every hour on Radio Law Talk.
So you know what happened in 2012. That was the Sandy Hook, and that was Sandy Hook a shooting, and that was tragic, and Remington got sued by a lot of Sandy Hook victims, and to make a long story short, the judge held, basically they did a motion. There are certain laws that have been passed, and I don't have that in front of me, that allows manufacturers of guns not to be held liable. What was the name of that? That's a law that was passed that basically says they're not, generally speaking, it's difficult to sue them and hold them liable for shootings, right? And but this judge and court allowed this case to go forward on additional grounds outside that law. And again, here we're already a law talk, but we're not talking about that, so that's why I'm getting a setup here.
Well, and the issue there was the law that was passed is, as a general matter, the manufacturer of the firearm can't be held liable. But in this particular case, the allegation was that the marketing of the firearm was what contributed to, as alleged, to the incident at Sandy Hook. And because they're focusing on the marketing of the firearm, not just the manufacture,
right,
the court kept the lawsuit active.
So that's what I was getting to, but go
ahead.
What's
interesting is the procedural, because right, this is not just your regular average court. This is when Remington files for bankruptcy protection, and it's the bankruptcy judge that actually allows the settlement to occur. And that's, you know, in the bankruptcy, they're liquidating Remington's assets, and they're trying to pay creditors, even ones that are potential.
Well, back
creditors.
Up. We haven't talked about even what's going on here. So we're not even talking about this, the settlement yet. We're back to, you're right, but we're back to the issue of what happened in the original case. In the original case is, like you said, they filed bankruptcy to try to get out
yes.
of it. And that's what Denise is saying. This is what, to tease everybody, is what was Denise talking about with me this whole week, and it was like, this is a shocker. And the shocker is that they settled, Remington settled for $33 million of the families of Sandy Hook. And I guess, like I said, the lawyers found a loophole, Todd, right? That they're arguing, well, it's the marketing of this firearm, not the issue of the firearm being manufactured, being held liable for deaths. And so I think what this is going to do, and everyone thinks, oh, it's opened up, it's over. Now the firearm company is going to be held liable. I don't think so. I think they're just going to change their marketing strategy and be more general and not specific in marketing these the way that the court felt that, by the way, just left it open so they can bring the trial. Don't forget, Remington, this is not a loss, because if they would have taken a trial, they still could have won. All this is a settlement, and the judge just allowed it to go to court under those premises.
Yeah, and from a procedural standpoint, we have actually two lawsuits, or two different judicial bodies weighing in here. So the lawsuit was filed in Connecticut in the local superior court in the jurisdiction. That's the lawsuit between the victims and Remington. At the same time, Remington, and this happened in 2012, Remington in 2018 filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in federal court. That's being overseen by a judge in Alabama who's overseeing the bankruptcy proceedings. So what we have here is Remington has proposed a settlement of $33 million with nine families, and that was filed in the Superior Court in Connecticut. Now, that proposed settlement has to be approved by the judge in Alabama over the bankruptcy issue. So you've got two different issues. I'm not certain if, I mean, that's a proposed settlement. Has the victims' families, have they said that if approved, we would take it? Because the lawyers for the family saying, look, we think it's going to be anywhere from $225 million to $1 billion in damages, and this represents a fraction of that.
Yeah, but the assets control here and the creditors control.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that when we come. We'll just touch on it really quick, and then we'll get into a dog attack case. We'll be right back.
There's more Radio Law Talk coming right up. Stay tuned right here.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0940. 800-670-0940. 800-670-0940. That's 800-670-0940.
If your loved one has passed away due to COVID-19, pay close attention to this message. You could be entitled to a death benefit of over $300,000. The U.S. government has set up a fund to pay families relief if they've lost a loved one due to COVID-19. We know this is a hard time for you, and this fund has been set up by the federal government to help ease your pain. The compensation includes a death benefit and lost wages benefit. Time is limited, so we urge you to make a free phone call right now. There's no cost to you for this claim. All legal fees are only covered once you receive your money. So if you've lost a loved one due to COVID-19, call the legal helpline right now to find out if you qualify for a cash award. Here's our number. 800-918-7092. 800-918-7092. 800-918-7092. That's 800-918-7092.
USA Radio News. I'm Brad Bernards. Tax officials must give former President Donald Trump's tax returns to a congressional panel, the Department of Justice said Friday. The House Ways and Means Committee has long sought the returns, only to be stymied by federal officials. Representative Richard Neal, Democrat of Massachusetts, chairman of the panel, has said he wanted 6 years of Trump's tax returns as part of a possible adjustment of federal law. Dr. Rochelle Walensky, director of the CDC, issued a clarification statement Friday night on Fox News' special report. Brett Baer had asked about masks.
The masks are really being put on for vaccinated people in areas of high-density disease, such that if they were to get infected, that they knew that they might bring it to somebody who is immunocompromised, somebody who was not yet vaccinated. So it was really to prevent transmission.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Radio Law Talk. I like that show. That's true.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Brett Penny.
Love live radio. Live radio is just so much fun because you never know what's going to happen. I just keep my mic little whole hand thing keeps squeaking. It's driving me crazy. It's like you open it. Listen. Hear that, Cal?
Well, yeah, but this reminds me of the old joke. Does it squeak when you do that? Does it hurt when you do that? Yeah.
Well, then don't do that. I know. I was like, because every time it's like, okay, we're done with the show. So I push the mic off to my side and goes, okay, I'm going to loosen it right now. There we go. All right. Well, hold on.
Yeah, I don't know if it's at the, yeah, it must
yeah,
be.
Yeah, listen.
Good
listen.
Job. Good job. Way to go.
Woo-hoo.
I'm sorry.
Live radio.
When I put that in, I put it in a little too tight, so I'm sorry about that.
Okay, we'll pass on that issue.
Right.
Okay, so we were talking about the Remingtons, and I thought we covered most of it, but the key is when we talked about this during the break, is like I told Cal, I said, I truly think that it's going to, this doesn't mean the end of all these manufacturers of guns. I think what's going to happen is they're going to change their marketing and what they say about their guns. Don't you think, Denise and Todd? They're going to, and I think what they're going to do is the law still holds. And I didn't have time to look up what the law is called that protects the gun manufacturers. But I think what's going to happen is they're just going to change their marketing tactics. So there you go. And that's the way the lawyers. That's what lawyers do. They find loopholes and they say, okay, we're not going to attack that monster head on. We're going to go around it and talk about marketing. And that's what they did. $20 million award in a California dog attack. And let me talk to you about this. So I'm a personal injury lawyer, and I want to talk about people who have dogs. If you have a dog and you're listening, you have to do a couple of things. And this is not legal advice. We're just talking generally. I know this, though, and this is so important. People don't do this. There are, in homeowners or renters policies, certain things that they exclude in those policies and people don't read them. Number one, there's been most policies for homeowners coverage or renters coverage that they do not cover that breed of dog. You got to look at it. Look at what breed of dogs are excluded. If you have this type of dog or that type of dog, obviously Rottweilers and Pit Bulls are usually the ones on the list. Just to let you know, those are usually the ones on the list. Some, believe it or not, it's not that often, but some don't even cover dogs or dog bites, because what happens is, in many states, you got to check your state, but like in California, it's strict liability. What does that mean? There's no first bite rule. Some states allow, okay, if your dog's dangerous, you have to know about it, and they have to bite at least once, and that puts you on notice that they're going to bite people, and that's what's called a first bite rule. And in other states, it's strict liability. The dog bites, or not just bites, but attacks, or knocks you down, or whatever. A lot of times, those states say it's automatic. That's just it. You're automatically liable. And then you go to your homeowners, and you go, oh, yeah, here it is, Mr. Homeowners Insurance Company, cover me for this. And they go, oh no, your dog's excluded. By the way, you have a Rottweiler, you have a pit bull. It's excluded in the policy. And not only that, I have other people go, well, it's not a pit bull, it's only half pit bull. Well, I don't know, you better read your policy really close. So the moral of the story is read your dang policy. Now this case. And the other thing is, be careful. Every state's different. Double check your state, right? Because sometimes they can have or find you criminally liable if your dog attacks and seriously injures or kills someone. A lot of times they'll kill children. And that's what I hate to say it, but I am an advocate of this. And it drives me crazy when I see people with these very, very, dogs that are known for being aggressive, and believe me, the dog owners are all listening out. Oh no, it's not the dog. It's no. There's some that dogs can, like a human can just go off their rocker sometimes. But the problem is, some of them, as they bite, they'll release. But some dogs don't release, right? Their jaws lock, and that's the problem with children being killed or maimed or even adults. And in this case, there was a death, and actually there's two people walking. One guy was walking his dog, and another was walking, and another, they're walking their dogs, and they stopped and started talking in front of this person's yard, and their dog, and by the way, there's leash rules too, whether or not your dog has to stay on a leash or stay within your yard or whatever. And this dog had gotten out. It was a Belgian Malinois, and
Malinois.
Yeah, and I know what they are. They're kind of like a German Shepherd, but they're different. But they are a police dog, and this was a former police dog, and that attacked this one guy, and he died 3 days later, and it was from the attack from the dog. Now here's the thing: the owner of the dog was sued, right? And his homeowners were supposed to cover him. I don't know what happened with the homeowners coverage, but here's the issue. The issue is they're criminally going after this individual who, by the way, was a former police officer of some sort. And this was a former police canine that attacked. It was a former police dog. And the police sold this dog to someone, and the plaintiffs in this case sued the department, saying you did not give proper instruction on how this dog should be kenneled when an owner's not around. And that's what happened on that.
In many states, including California, the most common retirement procedure for a police dog is sold to the police officer handler for a dollar. And he just gets to take that dog home and keep it as a pet. And so but obviously that was not the case in this particular state. But that's a way out of that, you know.
Right. So Todd, you were going to say something? I thought you were looking at
it. Well, it was just it's so tough for law enforcement officers when they retire, no longer in duty, and here's the dog. Like, oh, man, my day used to be worth something. Now I'm sitting at home waiting to be put out so I can go to the bathroom. I'm jonesing for somebody to chase down. What am I going to do? Things can get tough for a dog.
But you know what? The fact that they're criminally charged, I agree with it. People are like, well, he shouldn't be criminally. No, you got a dog, and I've seen people walking their Rottweiler dog. I'm going, you know what? And I see little 3-4 year old kids walking around All it takes is just one snap. Like you were jumping on the Johansson thing and for the actor. I'm jumping on the people who are attacked by dogs, and I truly believe that people who have dogs that are known to seriously harm people should be held criminally liable if their dog seriously harms, especially children. And here's the issue. The issue is like, well, I've got a little chihuahua or a little small dog. You're right. And that dog's not going to, it's going to hurt someone, but it's not going to kill them. That's the key. I worry about the young children or people being killed. Well, let me tell you a story. I was out in my pasture one day, and some people came and were at this place nearby us, and I was on my property, and they had a pit bull, and I had a little my daughter with me, and she was a little 4-year-old, and that pit bull came full bore at us. I mean, coming at them, they were probably just 50 yards away, and this was a big pit bull, and it was coming at me, and I'm going, all right, here we go, and they kept calling the dog, and obviously the dog wasn't coming back. So luckily I picked up this rock, probably the size, it was probably a 5-pound rock, and I was ready to take, and I picked my daughter up on my other shoulder, and I was going to have to take this pit bull on, and it came right close to me and just stopped, because, you know, I was going to use the rock, you know, and it saw the rock, and I was ready to throw the rock at it, I mean, hit it with the rock, and it stopped. And, but it was clearly out of control, that dog. And in my opinion, if I would have been attacked, that individual should go to jail. And I'm talking the person who owned that dog. Go ahead, Cal. I mean, go ahead, Todd.
So the interesting thing is, just for folks to keep in mind, there's a difference between criminal negligence and an overt act. So, look, if somebody's coming up and you have this dangerous dog and you sick the dog on them, and they're not a threat, you're using the dog as a weapon. You know the dog is a weapon, and you send the dog in there. Obvious. I think that is criminal liability. You're using the dog as a weapon like you would use a gun or a knife to harm or injure somebody else. But when we talk about criminal negligence, I'm not disagreeing with Fred, but the standard of proof is much more difficult on a criminal trial, because criminal negligence refers to conduct where the individual either ignores a known or obvious risk. And that gets a little bit more difficult. We can read in the newspaper all of the attacks by pit bulls or these types of dogs. But the defendant in this criminal case is going to say, well, I can't be convicted because of what somebody else's dog did, but I can tell you my dog has been docile from day one, and this behavior is completely out of the ordinary. It wasn't an obvious risk for me. That's where the defense is, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how they go about proving it.
Right. So when we come back after the hour, we're going to finish up with the grand, we're going to talk about a Trevor Milton, who he is, and why it's important to know what happened with that case. And then we're going to do our quick takes. And then we're done for the month of July. And then we're back in August with our wonderful people who listen to us, our wonderful, I'm not going to say fans, I'm going to say our listeners. We'll be back right after this.
Listeners, and of course we thank our affiliates, we thank our internet people, everybody who does a lot of hard work to make sure that Radio Law Talk can come your way. We appreciate that. And we will continue with the program in just a little bit. Don't go away.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to radiolawtalk.com.
Learn how.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared. And now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
The Amargosa Valley.
Radio Law Talk. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, we've got last segment. We're excited to be here. We got quick takes coming up, but Todd, you wanted to talk about this Trevor Milton. Tell everybody who he is and what about him.
So Trevor Milton is the founder of electric car maker Nikola, which is interesting because you got Elon Musk, which is the founder of Tesla, and both of them are inspired by the inventor who, you know, competed against Edison, Nikola Tesla, and that is who these folks use in the electric car making industry as their inspiration. Well, Milton started Nikola, and last June of 2020, he took the company public, and now he has been indicted because the federal government is saying, okay, look, when you went to go take the company public and you were making all of these statements, and the statements, they weren't really inducing the savvy investor to invest in your company once it goes public. These statements were really preying on the casual investor, the folks that really buy into the hype and everything. And the government is saying in their indictment, essentially, nearly every statement made by Trevor Milton was not true. And that those statements led to an overinflation of the stock price. Stock price is now tanking after the indictment. And that has caused a serious harm to the investors because they were induced or duped into purchasing the stock, so goes the allegation, by virtue of the false statements. Now listen, when you have a company that goes public, you have to be very careful if you're the leader of that company, the CEO, You have to be very careful in terms of what you say, because let's remember Elon Musk. He got in trouble, a couple of years ago. He's the CEO of Tesla. And he makes this statement out of pure speculation where he says, that Tesla, a publicly traded company, he makes this statement where he says, you know, I'm thinking maybe we'll take the company private again. And the stock price tanked. And the SEC came in and said, yeah, Mr. Prolific Twitterer, Mr. Elon Musk, you can't make statements like that because it causes a panic among your investors. Right. And so eventually Musk stepped down as CEO so that his statements aren't attributable necessarily to Tesla. But, you know, that is when it comes to stock that's heavily regulated. What about cryptocurrency? Cryptocurrency, not regulated, right? So when Elon Musk does something very similar and says, everybody go buy Dogecoin, which was created as a joke, and it drives the price of Dogecoin from, you know, less than a half a penny per coin up to 26 cents, 60 cents, and yet overnight millionaires based on nothing but hype, there's not really a whole lot that the government can do about Elon Musk making statements with regard to that because it's not regulated. But when you take a company public, heavily regulated, and Trevor Milton is going to have to answer. He's been indicted for the statements that he made. We'll see how this pans out. The indictment just came down, but he was making statements like, our cars, they work completely and fully. The indictment says that's not true. He says hydrogen sells for $16 a kiloton or whatever it is, and we can produce it for $4. And the indictment says, yeah, they don't produce any hydrogen, you know. So every statement that they're claiming he made was a misstatement only to drive up the price. And he, if true, he's going to be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, he was freed on a $100 million bond that's secured against two of his properties in Utah. And he is currently barred from contacting any of the investors.
Yeah. Is he and based out of Utah?
I don't know. I mean,
no, the properties were in Utah. I'm not sure. If
a lot of people, if I was going to guess, I'd say it's probably up near Park City, where they got the high-priced properties where people come in to vacation in the winter.
But, we've been there, huh, Fred?
Yeah.
What's that?
Park City. You and I have been there.
Oh, yeah, we've been there many times.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. He's a billionaire, so he's got a lot of money, and that's why... That's what, you know, one of the things about bail is to protect public safety. It's also to assure your appearance in court. And when somebody has assets in the billions with a B, the flight risk concern goes way up when it comes to the court process. So there we are.
We're going to follow that along as we go. You know, I got to talk really quick about a lawyer getting reprimanded. This is important. This is a very interesting concept with lawyers. The problem with social media that has gone crazy is lawyers have ethical duties. And what happens is lawyers, it's just bound to happen that there's going to be a client that's not going to be just, you know, like you or has an issue. And what happens when they go ahead and make a statement on, you know, I don't know, Yelp, Avvo, whatever, or on Google and make a bad review of you? Can you respond? You know, and the most of the responses I see and it should be is, you know, oh, we're sorry, and can you give us a call, see if we can't, you know, talk this over. Sometimes you just can't resolve something. Well, this lawyer went back and not only responded, you know, I could see the lawyer responding, there shouldn't. And even if he responded in a negative way toward the client, if you look at these reports or, you know, whatever they say about this business, it's usually a first name and a initial K. You know what I mean? Like Joe K, right? Well, the lawyer responds.
Joe K, joke.
Yeah, that's right. The lawyer responds and puts the guy's full name and his criminal record on his response. And so the lawyer gets disciplined, and actually the Supreme Court of Oregon went all the way to Supreme Court of Oregon. The Supreme Court of Oregon said, you know what? That was an ethics rule violation, but I guess the bar wanted to have a 30-day suspension, or the prosecutor, whoever was pursuing him, but they recommended just a public reprimand instead, which is basically a slap on the face. I mean, a slap on the hand and tell him don't do it again. But the guy basically, but this is, you know, look, I'm not jumping on the lawyer's side, but this is what the guy goes on and says about his lawyer. And even if the lawyer, he disagrees with them, and maybe the lawyer didn't do a great job, the lawyer just has to sit there and take this. The guy said he called him online a, quote, horrible attorney, very crooked attorney. He lost my case. He's a bad lawyer. And you know what? The lawyer just has to sit there and take it, right? When the lawyer's like, no, you had a bad case. You know, so what does the lawyer do to respond?
Right? Oh, so here's the question I have. If that, I mean, you're crooked, saying somebody's a crooked lawyer, I mean, that's a defamatory statement,
it is.
Right?
Absolutely.
And it's clearly because it's in a review aimed at with the intention of affecting his business. And if this lawyer knows enough about that client to know who they are, even though it was the first name and last initial, to know who they are and what their criminal history is, what's to preclude the lawyer from coming back and filing a defamation lawsuit against
Nothing.
That person?
And that's what he should have
that's
done.
That's what he should have done.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah. Because then in that action, in that defamation action, it has the effect of the now the attorney-client privilege can be waived, and he can't be held to the standard of not disclosing anything because now they're in a lawsuit against each other.
I guess, and that's an interesting question. If a person goes on to leave a review about you, and it's a negative review, has the fact that they have commented on your job and their representation of you, have you effectively waived the attorney-client privilege because you've talked about it? I don't know of any litigation, but that would be an interesting point to litigate.
Well, my understanding is no, because it's not an administrative or a legal proceeding.
Right. And that's what the Supreme Court of Oregon said. It was ethical violation to reveal his name and talk about his criminal record. Now, I agree with that. I can say, you know, you got to be careful. You can't, you know, put that stuff out. But you guys just came up with something I didn't realize. You're right. You could sue that person for possibly defamation by saying those statements about you without, and I guess their only argument is truth, right? They can yeah. argue it's true, but well, I don't know what was the quote, criminal, you're a criminal.
And my argument about the waiver would be, well, wait a second, that guy had to sign up with Yelp in order to leave that review, so he had to provide Yelp with his full name, contact address, and Yelp has access to that full review, knowing his full name. So I would say, yes, the client has published their full name and everything. Now, it's not an administrative proceeding, but when you start talking about your interactions with your lawyer to third parties, there can be an argument that you have waived it. We haven't had it fully litigated. It'll be interesting to see.
Let's do our quick takes, Cal.
All for that. Now, the question is, who has their quick take ready?
I do.
You do, Fred. What is your quick
take? All I got to say, Scarlett Johansson, look, I know you got a lawsuit going against Disney. I know Todd Kuhnin is ready for free to give you consultations, free advice, and help you with the case.
Acting lessons, maybe. Todd, what's your quick take?
It's also Scarlett Johansson. I am offering as tribute to be your emotional support attorney.
So nice. Denise, what's your quick take?
Mine is on James Brown. James Brown's most recent last words were, I feel good.
Nice.
Now that my kids and my grandchildren win.
All right, we'll be back next week, 9 to noon Pacific time. Thank you for joining us.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated. Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, California time.
That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.